minister today. Lord, I don't want earthly power. I don't want fleshly power. I don't want the power of this world, God, but I want power through you. Lord, I pray that you direct our lives, direct our hearts. Help us, God, to seek that heavenly power, that anointing, that glory of God in our lives. And I pray that, God, you would do a great work in us to produce the fruit of meekness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We've had quite a journey so far. Meekness, of course, is the eighth fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to just focus on one of these, but we need all. And I believe I taught the first lesson on love. Or I may have followed up, and I remember reviewing maybe. But talking about love, I feel like all of these are really based on love. You've got to start out with love. Not earthly love, not sensual love, but godly love. Giving ourselves for one another and loving one another unconditionally. It all begins with love. It is a rough and tumble world, this 21st century that we live in. Meekness is no longer considered a virtue in our world today. Meekness is not exactly the first thing on a list of character traits for those wanting to succeed in today's world. Whether it's in business or sports, politics, preach about that one. But meekness is not something our world seeks after. Humility gets trampled in the dust every day by those so-called high achievers who from an early age learn to just push and shove and just to get ahead of everybody else. In North America, we fiercely contend for our rights, believing that to be bold is best. Our society subscribes to the notion that if nobody else is going to blow my horn for me, well, I've got to blow it myself as loud and as strong as I can because I want everybody to know how great I am. We are completely convinced that unless we make a big splash in the world, we'll be forgotten in the crowd. That's the culture we're in. That's the day we're living in. From the hour that we first began to take our feeble, first frightened steps, perhaps as toddlers, we're told, stand on your own two feet. Be your own man. Don't ever let them see you cry. Independence, aggressiveness, self-assertiveness, self-assurance, those are all attributes that they tell us will lead you to ultimate greatness and success in life. In the face of all this, what a shock to hear the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, that says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's not about how big and bad we are, but can we humble ourselves? Can we come to the Lord in meekness and present that to the world? Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So who really has the secret to success? Where does the truth lie in this? Do we adopt the view of our contemporary culture, or do we look at the proposition of Jesus Christ that is so unappealing to our flesh? Of course, we know the answer today. It all depends on whose standard of success we want to adopt as our guiding principle in life. I tell you today, I don't want to adopt the standard of success of this world, because I know that this world will pass away. But, oh God, help me to be led by your Spirit and led by your Word that will never pass away. Amen. God has things figured out. And if we could get in his Word, and if we can catch this principle today, I believe God will do great things through us. Servant leadership. Servant leadership. Jesus came to this world, and he didn't come with a great army. He didn't come with force. He didn't come with earthly power. He was born in a manger, in a stable. But wise men came and gave him gifts. It changed the world. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of meekness. The King James Version calls this part of the fruit of the Spirit meekness. The root word in the Greek language is praos, which in some translations they choose one of three different words in English, either meekness or humbleness or gentleness. This word, it means a disposition that is even-tempered, mild, tranquil, unpretentious, and has its passions under control. A disposition that is even-tempered, mild, tranquil, unpretentious, and has its passions under control. Meekness towards God is that disposition of the Spirit in which we accept how God deals with us, and we call it good, whether it's something we like or not. And in the Old Testament, the meek were all those who they relied on God, rather their own strength, to defend them against injustice in life. Maybe they weren't treated right, but they relied on God to settle things. Having meekness towards evil people means that we know God is, for whatever reason, allowing this to happen to us. And so being meek is choosing to trust God. Now, there's a balance here. There's always balance. I believe that there's proper boundaries. But God help us to not err on the side of having boundaries and standing for our own rights. Lord, let us err on the side of meekness, being more like you. I believe that God uses situations and people, problems, to purify us. The trying of your faith. Job said, I don't know where the Lord is. I can't find him. Seems like he's hiding himself from me. Seems like my prayers are going up and bouncing right back down. But he said, when he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. God will take situations that are uncomfortable, that are painful, that are even tragic, and he will use those situations to purify us. Thank God for purification. But sometimes it's not fun. But Lord, help us to see this. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and his control over our situation. The meek person is not occupied with self at all. But this is a work of God's Spirit and not of the human spirit. I tell you today, we need to be full of God's Spirit. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be so full of my own spirit. I don't want to be so full of my own flesh, of my own human will, that I can't do the work that God has called us to do. But Lord God, purify me today. Lord, I must decrease and you must increase in me. Lord, let your Spirit come inside of me so that I can have the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately, the word meekness rhymes with weakness. And usually in today's world, in people's minds, they think the two are synonymous. Meekness and weakness. Ironically, meekness in its true form is so far from weakness. Because to exhibit meekness requires unusual strength. Think about it with me today. It takes more control and strength to exhibit meekness than to let your temper run wild. It takes much more power to have meekness than to tell that person what you really think. The Greeks used the word praos to describe a wild animal that had been tamed for service. A wild animal that had been tamed for service. I want God to get a hold of our hearts, to get a hold of our human spirits, to get a hold of our human will, the wildness that of the flesh that is there. And God, if you can tame that so that you can use us in your service. Lord, I don't want to be running wild, and I don't want to be self-assertive and so bold and brash in myself that I miss out your work in me. But Lord, tame that so that I can be used for your service. Meekness is the power of our potential under God's control. The power of our potential under God's control. And without meekness, we will never be all that God wants us to be. You can think of that young horse with all of its wildness, all of its energy, all of its life. At some point, all of a sudden, that young colt has a realization that they're trying to put this thing in my mouth, and they're trying to put a harness on me, and they're trying to put this piece of metal in my mouth, and I don't like that. This person comes up next to me and starts putting their weight on my back, and they've got this blanket on my back and this heavy thing, saddle, I don't know what that is, but I don't like that. And they try to buck it off, and someone's patient and works with that horse and develops it and learns to have all of its potential under the control of a bridle, under the control of a saddle. And there's amazing things that that horse can do, but it will never realize its potential if it's not under control. God, help us to be under your control so I can be all that you want me to be. God, I want to recognize and realize my potential, and it only happens through meekness. We're going to look at five qualities of the meek, five qualities of the meek, and we're going to look at how there's power in meekness. There's power in meekness. I believe today that if we will practice these things in our lives, that it will revolutionize the relationships that we are in, radically changing them for the good. Meek people can take a relationship that is weak and dying, and they can resurrect it. They can take a healthy relationship and make it even more dynamic. There is power in meekness. We're going to look at an acronym for power today as it relates to meekness. First of all, P stands for personality. Personality. Meek people have their personalities under God's control. Thank God for personalities. Thank God we're not all the same. How boring would it be if everybody was like you? How boring would it be if Sister McCoy, you think it'd be exciting? Yeah, it would be, I guess, but you have to have the melancholy and the the one that thinks and organizes and counts all the numbers to go along with all that excitement so we can come together and get something accomplished. And it would be fun, I guess. For some reason, God didn't make us alike. But you ever heard opposites attract? Thank the Lord. Our personalities are made up of our character traits, which can make or break any relationship. What are some positive character traits that you would like to see in other people? Things like honesty, humility, a sense of humor, compassion. What are some negative character traits that you would not like to see? Things like rudeness, temper, vindictiveness, stubbornness. Oh, I know nobody here is stubborn. No. If we're all honest, we have to all admit that there are some character traits in all of us that need some of those rough edges smoothed off. Here's some hope for us today. Jesus, his three closest associates, each had a character flaw, and he didn't give up on them. Peter, James, and John were almost what you'd say the Lord's best friends, the Lord's closest disciples. They were his inner circle. And in Luke chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10, we get a good example of some of their faults. In Luke 9:33, we read about Peter, how impulsive he was. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. And it was there on the Mount of Transfiguration that he just got so excited, and so he just thought he had it all figured out of how this was going to go down. And he said, oh Master, it's good for us to be here. And he said, let's go ahead. Let's make us three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. He got ahead of himself. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. James and John, their vindictiveness came out in Luke chapter 9, verse 54, when the Samaritan village would not receive Jesus, and they thought, well, I said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just like Elias did. They were ready to take care of business. No wonder why Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 41, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you people are so stubborn. You don't have any faith. Why do I have to put up with you? Peter, in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, you read the story of Peter after Jesus had a conversation with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler, he was wanting to serve the Lord. And Jesus, what did he tell him? He said, well, do you obey the commandments? Oh, yes. Since my youth, I've obeyed all of those commandments. And Jesus said, well, leave everything you've got, give it all to the poor, and come follow me. Oh. And so Jesus was talking, and Peter overheard this, and he thought, well, I'm going to get one in. I'm going to tell Jesus about this. And so he kind of boasted, and he said, well, Lord, you know, lo, we have left all and followed thee. But to different ones, it's different things. James and John, they were promoting themselves in Mark chapter 10, verse 37. It was right after Jesus speaks of his coming crucifixion in Jerusalem, and they came to the Lord, and they were jockeying for position, and they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. We don't want to just be ordinary disciples, Lord, but we want to be on the right and the left, and we want everybody to know that we're important. The same thing that enabled Jesus to stick it out with the disciples is exactly the same thing that we can utilize to help us in our relationships. And it's this: Jesus saw the power of their potential. He knew that if they would give him control over their personalities, that if they would be, you know, realistic and honest about their character defects, that if they would let the Spirit work through them, they could be powerful in the kingdom of God. I want to tell you, and you read the accounts, that's exactly what happened if you look at the historical account of the Bible, because Jesus didn't just give up on them because they had a few character flaws, but he said, hey, I'm going to let my Spirit work in you, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to come through you, and you're going to be able to do great and mighty things through me. Hey, man, don't write somebody off because they have a few character flaws. But the answer, on the other hand, is get them full of the Spirit. Get them full of the Holy Ghost. They need to be moved upon by the power of God so that God can kind of smooth some of those edges off. And he can take a Peter who was so bold and always sticking his foot in his mouth, but on the day of Pentecost, he could stand up with boldness and say, hey, I want to tell you, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is the power of God. This is what we've been praying for. This is the prophecy coming to pass. It took someone bold to stand in the face of all of those people there today and that day and say, hey, the Messiah came and it was Jesus Christ and you crucified him. Then he was able to preach to them. They were added to the church that day. Don't give up on people and don't give up on yourself. The answer is to get full of the Spirit so the fruit of the Spirit can come out. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Another translation says, God can do anything far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. We need him to work in us. Meek people are those people who have allowed their personalities to be under God's control. Personality. Think about it today. What do I need God to work on in me? Here's the catch. God works within us when his Spirit fills us. We must have the Holy Ghost to produce the fruit of the Spirit. John 15 and 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. All right, there's power in meekness. Let's look at O. O would stand for outlook. Outlook. As we allow the Holy Spirit to control our character traits, it will have an incredible effect on our outlook, how we see other people, how we see situations in life. You see, how we see other people will determine two things. Number one, it'll determine our attitude towards them. And number two, it'll determine our actions towards them. When our outlook comes under God's control, we suddenly begin to see others in a positive light, and we work for their benefit instead of merely for our own. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When our outlook comes under God's control, we all of a sudden start to have a lot of understanding for others. Meek people are understanding of the weaknesses and limitations of others. People whose outlook has remained outside of God's control are very selfish people for the most part. And the number one way to destroy any relationship is to be selfish. Wow, did some of you husbands get a little elbow on the side on that one? I think I felt that one all the way from here. James chapter 3, verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. God, help us to be unselfish and help our outlook of others to change. W, words. Words. Every human being that is old enough to talk instinctively knows the power that's in words. That's why we talk so much. But words can either be devastatingly destructive or enormously encouraging. James chapter 3, verses 6 through 8 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Some pretty strong words there. "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." No human being can tame the tongue. That's why we have to bring our words under God's control. Do you know how God controls your words? He does it by first taming our heart and filling it with His Spirit. The last part of Luke 6:45 says, "For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." Proverbs 15:4, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Some of you remember before you came to the Lord, your tongue was out of control. I've heard people give the testimony of how before they came to the Lord, they had such a foul mouth. It was like every other word was a cuss word, and they just, that's the way they spoke, and they didn't think anything out about it, but it's just the way it was. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost, something began to change in them. Hey, man, some of you been there, and you know what it was like when the Lord got a hold of your life, and your words began to change, and every once in a while when our flesh starts to creep back in, we need to examine our words. May not be cuss words, but I believe today that one of the characteristics of meek people is that their words are under control and they think before they speak. E stands for expectations. When someone disappoints us, are we meek or are we judgmental? Did you know that our response will determine the health of that relationship? I'm thankful that when we mess up, God's not waiting for us with clenched fists, but He's waiting for us with open arms. Just like the prodigal son, God wants us to run to Him, not from Him. And that's exactly what God expects us to act like with other people. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." God, help us to have the right expectations of others. We're going to end up with R today. There's power in meekness. This stands for response. Response. I want to bring something to your attention today. Have you ever thought about the word responsible? Responsible? You could say it this way. Response, able. Response, able. Meek people are able to control their response in life. The way that they respond is due to what's inside them, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, not to the external conditions that are going on at the time. Think about it with me today. Think about the things that people say when they're mad. You make me so angry. Is that statement true? Not really, because we're the ones that choose our reaction to circumstances. If we don't let them, if we don't let that situation make us angry, we won't be angry. Our emotion in life does not have to be built on the shaky foundation of the behavior and weakness of others, but rather it can be produced by the Holy Ghost inside of us. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. In our relationship with God, our response ability is crucial. James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 3 and 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. James 4 and 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. God actually resists those who are not submitted to him. Instead of going through life blessed and helped by God, they're actually hindered, it says. But the wonderful promise for us today is that God has promised that when we receive the Holy Ghost, that with it we should receive the fruit of the Spirit, and with that, meekness. Would you stand with me today? I want to end with one final verse, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not those that push their way to the front. Not those that tell how great they are. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I wonder, have you ever done this? Have you ever seen a bowl of beautiful fruit and you wonder, is that fruit real? Sometimes you can't tell by looking at it. It looks so good, it must be fake. So eventually you break down and touch it. I think we even had some kids that try to take a bite of plastic fruit. There's some plastic fruit out there. Plastic fruit disguising itself as meekness. Sometimes people they're plastic. Looks good on the outside, but really it's coming from self-promotion. It's coming from pride. It's not coming from the Spirit. False meekness. God, help us not to be plastic fruit, but help us, Lord, to be genuine. Help us, Lord, to truly be humble. Help us to be confident that, you know, it's not us, but it's the Spirit inside of us. Amen. I don't want to be plastic fruit today. I don't want to be plastic meekness today, but Lord, I want to be the real thing. God, let your Spirit get a hold of me. Lord, let the Holy Ghost fill me to overflowing so that the fruit of the Spirit can move through me. I want to have power in me. meekness. Praise the Lord. Can we just ask the Lord to help us as we're seeking to produce fruit? Lord, I pray that you'd help us to produce the real thing. Help us to produce the real thing, Lord. I don't want to be plastic. I don't want to be fake, Lord, but I want to be honest. I want to do the things that you have called us to do and have the right spirit and have the right attitude and to love others, to have joy. And oh, God, I pray that you'd help us to have meekness today. Help us, Lord, to get ourselves full of the Holy Ghost so that we can portray the fruit of the Spirit and have power in meekness. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. We appreciate you today. Thank you for coming. We're going to take a short break, and I feel like God is going to do something incredible in our second service today. And let's come back here about 5 minutes to, and let's make up our minds. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to receive what he has for us, and we're going to believe God for a miracle today. Amen. God bless you.